Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, we will welcome another amazingly knowledgeable guest from the health and nutrition field, practitioner Cheryl Myers. So you don't want to miss this episode. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy, it's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Asthma. It can leave you gasping for breath as your respiratory tract goes into overdrive. And while it's often thought of as a condition that primarily affects kids, adults, well, they're not immune. In fact, about 15 million adults have it, compared with 7 million children. And asthma isn't just more common in adults, it's potentially more serious. Cheryl Myers will talk today about the risk factors and sometimes surprising warning signs for this chronic condition. Plus, she'll offer up some natural solutions to help you breathe easy. Cheryl Myers is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition in Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She is a well-known advocate for bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Cheryl has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology focusing on physiological brain function, and is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma. Help me welcome my guest, Cheryl Myers. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Jeff. It's so nice to be here.
Thank you for being here today. It's always a very enlightening conversation, bringing so much knowledge, but also you have this way of educating, and you know, we don't even know we're learning. It's wonderful.
Yes, maybe that comes from having teenagers in my household. We have to sneak in learning instead of doing it directly.
I think that's probably a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. This is an interesting topic. You know, you see commercials on TV for asthma, and most of the time, I actually do see more commercials for adults than I do children, but I am seeing some commercials for children, and we are hearing more and more about kids and both adults as well that are now asthma sufferers. And I think a lot of people are surprised that, you know, they didn't have it their whole life, but they might have developed it later in life, too.
Well, that's true. You know, asthma can strike at any age, but generally it's younger people, generally it's children or young adults that start to experience asthma, but we're actually seeing a lot of increases in the rates of asthma in the United States. A lot of people put that up to environmental pollutants or toxins in our foods or our Frankenfoods, or some people have all kinds of different theories about why we're seeing these increases. But there's an awful lot of folks in the United States that have asthma. It turns out that about 1 in 12 people has some form of asthma. And just 15 years ago, that was 1 in 14. So that's quite a big increase in a short period of time.
You know, and we're seeing a lot of many different things today that at one time we thought would, you know, only afflict a certain portion of our society. And, you know, then we saw that, you know, be a small portion of people that would have this. And it's like the walls all came down and the calendars don't matter anymore. And the biological, chronological age doesn't matter. And now we have young people with old age diseases, older people with younger problems, and happening at a young, much younger age. There's a lot of different reasons out there. I think you mentioned a lot of them. I think the Frankenfoods, that's one of my favorite ones to point the finger to.
Well, you know, another thing is that has some credence has to do with overly wrapping our children too much in cotton. You know, I mean, we're making sure that if they fall down, they don't get bumped and that they don't get dirty and that they're always clean and they're always protected. And it turns out that if you protect your children too much from pathogens and dirt and dust and animal dander, that they are more likely to have asthma than if they were out there rolling in the mud with their golden retriever. So it does make some sense to look at letting our kids be a little bit more in touch with nature, having pets in the home, letting them play with the neighbor's dogs and cats if you don't have a pet, but maybe not trying so hard to keep them in this perfect hygienic state, because I know we love our children and we want to protect them, and sometimes it seems like a very scary world out there, but and this is one instance where that might not be the best thing for their health.
Well, you know, I grew up at a time, I mean, I'm in my late 50s, and I grew up in a time when, first of all, we didn't have any of the technology today. We had one TV with three channels. We didn't have any electronics. We had a phone that was hung to the wall. You know, we didn't have any kind of electronics. You wanted something to do, you went outside and you found it or created it. We spent our entire childhood at the lake and the ponds and the gravel pits and the woods and the brush. We were perpetually dirty in the mud playing. And we were really healthy. We lived in the country. We had well water, and we grew our own vegetables. And we were probably dirty from the time we were three up to the time we were 17 or 18 because we were in the mud all the time. And it was a different world, I think.
I think you're right. And I also want to point out that human beings, for the vast, vast, vast majority of human history on this planet, the children have been outdoors children, outside children. And it's only been the last couple generations where that's starting to shift, and our children are starting to be, to a greater and greater extent, indoor children. And that's likely playing a role as well. But that's not the whole story. I really do think that there's more of a, there's probably many, many factors that are combining together in one of those perfect storms that we sometimes see that exacerbate or create in the first place chronic diseases.
Now, most of the time, when you mention asthma to somebody, they automatically think of breathing treatments, albuterol treatments, you know, nightly, daily, or weekly, or once in a while, intermittent breathing treatments. They think of the little spray, little puffers that are out there, and steroids. And does that tend to be pretty much across the board the therapy today?
Yes, although there's some oral medications that, well, that help to open up the bronchial passageways. So some people are on oral medications. They're on a daily dose of a metered spray and an inhaler, and they also have an emergency inhaler. So some people are on a lot of different medications to help with asthma. One of the things about asthma is it's a chronic inflammatory disease, but it's not the kind of inflammation that responds to the drugs that most people have heard of. So it's not inflammation like when you twist your ankle inflammation or get a sunburn inflammation or have arthritis. This is a kind of inflammation that's moderated by an enzyme pathway in the body called 5-LOX, like, you know, what you put on your bagel. So, but that this LOX stands for lipoxygenase. And 5-LOX inflammation does not respond to any of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So you can't take aspirin for it. You can't take ibuprofen or Aleve or Motrin or naproxen sodium or even the prescriptions like Voltaren or Celebrex. All these not what they call non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs do absolutely nothing because it's not that kind of inflammation. The only thing that will help settle down 5-LOX inflammation from the pharmaceutical world are steroids, and that's why you hear of steroid use so often. And in an emergency situation where a person can't breathe, I am all for anything that gets the oxygen going again. However, long-term use of steroids just has horrible side effects. Steroids raise your blood pressure. Steroids raise your blood sugar. They erode your bones. There's all kinds of really bad things. So people that struggle with asthma are constantly walking that tightrope of trying to use enough steroids to control their symptoms when they get out of control, but not so much that it's causing it tremendous amounts of long-term health damage. So I think it's important to take a step back and look at where else can we intervene in asthma so that we don't have to get to that point. What are the things in the natural world that might help modulate 5-lipoxygenase inflammation or some other types of things that help to keep the lungs clear, help to keep those bronchi open, and help to prevent those spasms that cause the tightness in the lungs that causes an asthma attack in the first place.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is it best with asthma to work on a preventive level? And I'm just stressing this because I know people will ask, because we happen to be a very emergent society where we get very stimulated to make a change when something is flared up or irritated, like you're gasping for breath in this sense, or you're having short-term, you know, breathing problems. We always want to be motivated then to do something because it's time. But in between times when we're breathing pretty good, we should be also on top of our game. True?
Well, absolutely, and I think it depends on what kinds of interventions you're using, but when we look at the sheer volume of people who have asthma, and many of your listeners who don't have asthma may not be aware of the fact that an asthma attack can be fatal. So there are people every single year that die, some, many of them children, that can't come out of an asthma attack and have such a restriction in their breathing that they actually pass away. So this is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something that, well, I'll wait till it's get bad enough and I'll do something about it. Because, you know, every asthma attack should be treated as a very serious, serious event. That's why I believe that everyday prevention, helping to keep that inflammation at bay, trying to eat a cleaner diet, getting rid of some of those foods that might be causing an increase in our allergic issues, you know, looking at our environment. Are there other kinds of triggers, asthma triggers in our environment that we can get rid of somehow? There's just, I think it's, this is where prevention is really important because, as I said, if you get all the way to an asthma attack, there's no telling how bad it's going to be or how it's going to end up.
The other thing I wanted to ask briefly is, do we ever grow out of it?
Well, yes, there's a lot of people who, children who have asthma, and when they become adults, they no longer have issues with asthma. But I don't think it's for sure something that you can count on. They always have the propensity for it. I have a friend who had some asthma issues when she was a kid, hadn't had any asthma issues at all, and then in her 50s, moved to a new house, had some allergy issues, and all of a sudden her asthma symptoms started up again. So, I think that once you've had asthma, you should probably keep an eye out for it because it can the conditions that created it in the first place may still be present.
Okay. Now, I think what happens with a lot of people is they want to do something quick. They want to make sure something is responsive to them very quickly. Obviously, reducing inflammation is something that is very, very important because we know that inflammation today, systemic inflammation, accelerates and agitates most of the problems we're having. And obviously, this is inflammatory based as well. Where do we start? I mean, where's a good place to start, especially if you're, well, we must have a different protocol for kids and adults, but obviously maybe on the same page.
Well, you know, I like to do a lot of work with natural medicines and dietary supplements because of the safety factor. And if we can find things that are highly effective but also very, very safe for long-term use, that's the win-win combination. But I'm also not 100% against medical interventions. And I believe that if you have had asthma and you've had serious attacks, even if you get your symptoms so well controlled that you haven't had an asthma attack in 5 years, you should always have your emergency inhaler available because I believe that there are certain circumstances that are unpredictable that can trigger a serious allergy attack. So I'm a big believer that if you're in trouble, you need whatever it takes to get you out of that situation and get you out of that situation quickly. That said, though, there are some supplements and natural medicines that just are hugely effective. So remember when I said that the inflammatory process that goes on with asthma is not the same kind of inflammation that we take aspirin or ibuprofen for. I mean, nobody has an asthma attack and the doctor says, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. So we need to look at, well, what are the biggest moderators of 5-LOX inflammation? And it turns out that there's an herbal compound called Boswellia. Some of your listeners may know it by the name of frankincense. That's one of its historic names. But Boswellia from the Boswellia serrata tree has been shown to be a very, very potent inhibitor of 5-LOX inflammation and therefore can be quite useful for individuals who are struggling with asthma.
Interesting. Want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. And let's face it, walking into health food stores today can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine, packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. Today we're talking about asthma, and this is a great subject because it's important. But I want to also make sure that you get this reminder from the people who make this show possible. Give me 30 seconds, and we'll be right back with my guest.
Got pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain. Garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
Cheryl, you know, there's a lot of people out here that are thinking that, you know, there's a lot of other instances where this is a factor, but maybe our basic supplementation program can be different. Let's say that, you know, I'm a person, I'm in my 40s saying, and I've had asthma off and on my whole life. And I take a multiple vitamin. I eat a pretty good diet. I drink a good amount of water. I try to exercise. And, you know, I'm taking my basic supplements, you know, my probiotics and my greens and some minerals and fish oil and things like that. And I think that I'm doing pretty good with my supplements, but I know there's a gap there. How do we know how to fill that gap when we may already have a basic supplementation program?
Well, I believe everybody, of course, I work in this industry, and I love what the science behind what health benefits dietary supplements can provide. But, you know, I believe everybody should have a protocol of, like, your basic good high-quality multis, your omega-3 sources, et cetera. But then you also have supplements that are not necessarily basic foundational support, but targeted interventions for a specific system. So one of the things that I really love, and we spoke about it briefly before the break, is Boswellia, because Boswellia is a very potent modulator of 5-LOX inflammation. BosMed has been used for the Boswellia has been used for thousands of years in Ayurveda, and it has been a very effective intervention. So we use a certain kind of Boswellia in our products that's highly purified and standardized, because it turns out that there's a very powerful compound in Boswellia called ACPA, A-K-B-A. And so for all the chemists in our listening audience, that stands for acetyl-keto-11-beta-boswellic acid, but trust me, it's a lot easier to say ACPA. And then some unstandardized Boswellia can have as little as 1% ACPA. So if you're taking an unstandardized product and you don't know how much ACPA you're getting, you may not have very many benefits, if any benefits at all. Another thing is that Boswellia was hiding a secret. It has something in it that causes inflammation. It's called BBA. Beta boswellic acid actually stimulates inflammation in the body. So about 80% of the herb was pushing in the good direction, and 20% of the herb was pushing in the bad direction. So scientists wonder, if we can purify it and remove virtually all of that BBA, what would happen? And what happened was a tremendously powerful natural medicine that has very strong benefits for the diseases that are the kind of inflammation, like asthma, that all deal with 5-LOX inflammation. So one of the things that we did is we created a product called BosMed Respiratory Support to help individuals who want to make their lungs stronger and healthier, make sure that they keep them nice and clear. And it contains the clinically studied dose of this Boswellia, but in addition to it, a couple of other herbs that help to stimulate getting foreign objects. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Like you've inhaled safety pin or something. But we inhale foreign objects all the time, or particulate matter, or the things that we inhale in our lungs that we want to get out of our lungs. And the problem with asthma is people are not very good at coughing. Doesn't that sound weird? Because one of the symptoms of asthma is coughing, coughing, coughing. People with asthma have a lot of trouble exhaling, blowing out. And it's because of that sometimes their coughing is not very effectual, which means that we get little puddles of mucus that start to build up in the bottom of the lungs. And it's a dark, warm, moist place. It's just a perfect breeding ground for bacteria and viruses. That's why we see people who have a lot of asthma issues have far higher rates of bronchitis, pneumonia, and influenza, is because of that inability to have really good, strong lung clearing. So some of the other herbs that are included in this formulation have to do with optimal lung clearing, keeping that mucus nice and thin so it doesn't get so thick that it's hard to cough up, and stimulating the little cilia. The little cilia, I always think of little sea anemones, like in Finding Nemo. Remember where Nemo used to hide, where his house was? A little fluttering, waving, multiple arms. Well, believe it or not, we have those in our lungs, and they're constantly fluttering to help brush up things that shouldn't be in our lungs up to the upper regions of the lungs so that they can be expelled. And if you have a lot of mucus And if you have a lot of thick mucus especially, that poor little cilia get squished down and they aren't very effective at being able to help you keep your lungs clean and clear.
So prevention is important, ongoing prevention. Good moisture means lots of plenty of water, of course, protective foods, you know, kind of like we do with just about every other health condition.
That's absolutely right. When you start looking at chronic health conditions, the first and foremost, it's almost always the same interventions. You know, good, healthy amounts of hydration in the form of clean water. You know, good, healthy, natural foods, eating as close to nature as you are able to do. Trying to look at where you're living. I've known individuals who've had horrible issues with asthma because they've lived in very humid places that has a lot of industrial manufacturing and there's high levels of particulate matter in the air. When they move to a dry, more rural environment, their asthma virtually goes away. So I know we don't all have the ability to just sell our homes and hop on the next wagon train out west, but if you are having a lot of issues and you do have a choice with that, you might want to consider vacationing in some areas that have low asthma rates to see if it may be some of the pollution in your area that's triggering some of your symptoms.
The other question that comes in, you know, they say that exercise is one of the best things for us to be able to stay healthy. And sometimes exercise along with asthma sometimes could be a battle. Movement, activity, how do we get that to work in there? Do we reduce inflammation and then the body is more capable of getting a better oxygen content?
Absolutely. And you're right on. There's even a name for that, exercise-induced asthma. There are people that if their heart rate and their breathing gets too heavy, or, then they trigger this sudden inflammatory response, and all of a sudden they can't breathe. So it's a horrible conundrum, isn't it, that you want to exercise and get your heart rate up and get your muscles working to be strong and healthy, but at the same time, every time you do it, or you run the risk of having an asthma attack. So, yes, one of the best things that you can do is to get that baseline inflammation down. And when you do start exercising, start slowly and not for long periods of time. So maybe you walk briskly for 15 minutes, and then maybe the next day you walk briskly for 25 or 30 minutes, and just slowly build up and let your body be your guide. If you start to have some breathing issues, just to slow it down and take it easy. The type of asthma that's exacerbated by physical activity, always have your emergency, what they call the rescue inhaler, have it along with you. But hopefully if you have been getting that inflammation down and keeping those lungs clear, you're going to be able to tolerate an enormous amount of greater levels of exercise activity, even if you have asthma.
You know, the other thing that I always feel comfortable with, you know, and I'm so happy that I get to speak with you on this, is because, you know, these are things that we see other people having, and sometimes we don't think that it may affect us. And I have a friend of mine, and she has a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. Both of them have asthma. And, you know, her neighbor's kids had asthma. And I remember her saying, you know, she said, she was pregnant and her kids were just starting to grow up. And she just never thought that it would ever be something that would affect her and her children. So I think sometimes we're a little taken back when something hits, when we're not mentally prepared for it, or we don't think we're a candidate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as I said, there's not a great deal of predictability of who's going to have problems with asthma and who isn't. Mm-hmm. All we know for sure is that it is increasing. And therefore, it makes sense for us to pay attention to research on what are some of the causes for this increase in the first place, and what can we do to reduce those risk factors in our lives.
The other thing is dairy products. That's something people talk about all the time, mucus-based food. Is that still a factor?
You know, for some people, it absolutely is. I have had some individuals who've gone completely dairy-free, and those individuals have done much better. I also have to say that asthma rates are much higher in African Americans. People of African descent have higher rates of asthma than people of European, especially Northern European descent. So when we look especially at lactose intolerance, even though the two are not connected, I don't want to pretend that they're connected, but we see that people that are African American have much higher levels of lactose intolerance than people that are European American. So I think that when we look at dairy and the fact that people have the right factors in their bodies historically from their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to handle a certain kind of food, Well, we see that people from Norway are awesome with dairy, and people from Somalia maybe not so much. So I think it makes sense, especially if you're African American, that you try a dairy elimination diet and see if by reducing all dairy, if your asthma symptoms increase, because in people that are sensitive, dairy absolutely increases mucus, and mucus makes it harder to breathe and can exacerbate asthma symptoms. So it's worth a try. Some individuals respond to it beautifully, and for some people, unfortunately, it doesn't make very much difference.
I want to give people some good references here as well as the information we had today. Of course, you want to visit EuropharmaUSA.com for great information, loaded with information and amazing products that are relevant for today's world. A great book, The Allergy and Asthma Cure, a complete 8-step nutritional program by Fred Pescatore, MD, and also My Life as an Asthma Mom. You can visit the blog. It's asthmamomlife.blogspot.com. And one of the other websites of the week, asthma.net. A lot of good information today. I'm so glad you took the time to tune in. And of course, my thanks to Cheryl Myers and Europharma. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today Show at Radio MD. Now, the show is brought to you by Europharma. You want to make sure to visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com. For more information on this and all of my show segments, remember to go to my radio show page at RadioMD.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show page, and then you'll have all the on-demand podcasts at your fingertips. And look for the shows available at RadioMD.com. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.